Okay, good evening all.
Good evening.
So we've been discussing baking challahs and Erev Shabbos and all the various halachas related to that. And so there are a number of these customs, a number of these ideas that we see that we kind of have just done naturally that, what do you know, there's actually our makoros. There are many sources that allude to some of the things that we just did kind of because it felt right. And one of those things is Yesh Noagim Lafos Shlosha Chalos. There's a custom to bake three challos for Shabbos, three specific rolls or three specific loaves of bread. Gadol ubeinoni v'katan. Now you specifically don't make three of the same size loaves, but you make three different sizes. You make a big, a small, and a medium size. Habeinoni l'su'udas halayla. First, you have the middle size one at night. The hagadola l'su'udas hayom, and the biggest one you have for lunch. And then laharos shechvod hayom adif, to show that what the second meal, the lunch meal on Shabbos, is the most important meal. So that's why you have the biggest loaf at that meal. The katan l'su'udas shlishis, and naturally you have the smallest one at su'udas shlishis. It's still important to have l'chemishna. It's a misnomer. People think that, number one, people think they're not obligated in the su'udas shlishis. Everyone's obligated to have shalosh su'udas. That's number one. Number two, everyone's also obligated to do Lechem Mishnah, ideally, at Shalosh Shudas. So certainly one should be sure to have a loaf of bread, but usually the smaller loaf, because maybe you're not so hungry anymore, and whatever, you're not going to eat as much at that meal. So that is something that a lot of people kind of just do naturally, but that is actually brought down in the poskim. He then explains that Yesh Noagim Kishemotzim HaChalos Me'atanor Achar Ha'afia Manichim Osan Tekef Al Shulchan L'chvot Shabbos, that the best way to go about taking your chalos out of the oven, or you're baking them for Shabbos, is not that you just put them on the counter, or you should make sure you put them on the Shabbos table. There's such a custom brought down to do it exactly like that, and not to take them off and put them anywhere else. He does explain that there are those who say not like that. So if you want to take them off and put them on your counter, that's okay as well. But again, some do like the idea of putting them specifically on your Shabbos table to make it clear that they are ready and able and willing to go to your Shabbos table right now. Then he also explains, what about a woman who finds herself, before we get there, a woman who is baking her chalos, you would think, okay, so it doesn't make a difference what you look like, you should just be able to go ahead and bake your chalos. You could do it in your robe, you could do it in your pajamas, whatever. He says, however, b'sha'asha isha ofa chalos, when a woman, when anyone actually is baking chalos for Shabbos, yihya paneha me'iros. It's very weird language that he uses here, it's an unusual thing he says, that one should make sure that they have like a an excitement, an exuberance, but also that your dress is appropriate for baking of the challos. Sha'az nechnesa simen bracha be'isa. If you want to make sure that there will be good things and positive blessings that pour out of the challah that you eat on Shabbos, and just in general, that you'll receive from the meals on Shabbos, make sure that you're dressed appropriately when you're baking your challah, that you're excited appropriately for your challah, and through doing that, you'll make sure that you definitely have a flowing of blessing in the world. And then he explains that a woman who has her mikveh night on Friday night, so are you a is she allowed to bake challah then? You'll say, what's the problem? Well, very simple. A woman who's properly kneading the dough, so it's probably going to get under her fingernails. And for those of us who know the halachos of mikveh night, you need to make sure you don't have any sort of a chatzitza, no sort of a separation. So can she go ahead and knead the challah, knead the dough, when there might be some dough that ends up in her fingernails and hard to get out? So he explains that's okay as well. She could definitely bake challah, even if her mikveh night is that night. He then also explains that let's say a person bakes challah every single week, and we've been explaining that that is the ideal, that one should try to make challah as often as possible for Shabbos. Baking is the best way to go about doing it. So let's say a person feels one week they had COVID, God forbid, or they had something else, some terrible ailment, and they can't bake that week. What are you going to do? So what are you supposed to do? Do you have to do a taras nadarim, right? Every single week you're doing this important action for a mitzvah, so maybe it's considered like a chazakah, therefore you have to get out of it by being matir neder, you have to annul your vow. He says, no. If you can't do it one week because you're not feeling well or you're just not up to it, it's okay. No need to annul the vow. And then ultimately he gives a final question in this area, and that is, let's say a person finds themselves that they can't help it. They're a great cook, they're a great baker, but if it's Zuckerbaker's challah or their challah, they prefer Zuckerbaker's. What are you supposed to do? They just like that challah more. So are you allowed to go ahead and take the bakery challah lichadchila over your own homemade bread if you like that more? So he explains, Im ha'isha chalusha oshananim yoter michalos haniknim mimeafeha, if she finds that the store-bought bread is better than hers, Ain't no pogi in bichvod Shabbos b'zeh shekuna achalos. It's okay. You're allowed to go ahead and buy the Zucker Baker's bread because you like that more. You should enjoy it. The whole idea at the end of the day is not just honoring Shabbos, but also enjoying Shabbos. So if you have no idea how to bake, or even if you know how to bake, but you don't like it as much as the other challah, parenthetically, when I was an assistant rabbi in Memphis, there was a bakery called Ricky's Bakery down there. Some people know Ricky's, but it's world famous. She makes the best cookies, the best challah, everything. There's not a person in Memphis who does not buy their challah from Ricky's. And they say the whole town is a bunch of sinners because they're only buying the baked bread and they're not baking their own challah. So no, if the challah there is going to be better than your own challah and you're going to enjoy it more, then you are allowed to go ahead and do that. And it's even preferable perhaps to go ahead and do that because ultimately this is all about enjoying Shabbos. Tomorrow, God willing, we'll continue in this discussion, but sort of pivot a little bit to be speaking specifically about the laws of Hafrashas Challah, separating Challah from the dough. But for now, we'll conclude with the Rabbi's Kaddish, Rabbi Chananya ben Nachash, Merzah Kaddish Baruch.